The words on that last song, I know it was the Lord that picked that song out. I will not be moved. I will not be moved. As I was getting ready this evening to share with you, I had my computer sitting there. I had some notes started on it. The Lord got my attention and said, I want to say some things tonight. So when he says that, you can pretty much set your notes aside. Because he wants to say something. And you got two choices. You can either go it alone or go it with him. So I choose to go with him on it. And he gave me a word of prophecy to share with you. Now, we all know prophecy is for exhortation, comfort. We need to leave this place stronger than when we came here. What I'm going to read to you is not in any way meant to cause any fear. What it's meant to do is to warn you about what is possibly going to happen in the future, so that you can be ready for it. When I say possibly, I mean, is it going to happen to everyone? I don't know. The title of it is A Campaign of Fear. I'm going to read parts of this. I'm going to read the whole thing to you, but I'm going to read you a little bit at a time. Give you a little bit so you can digest it. You can think about it. You can mull it over. I'm the kind of person that I want to know something in advance. I appreciate it when God shares something with me about what's ahead so I can be prepared for it. I don't like to be caught off guard. And he doesn't want you to be caught off guard. He wants you to be ready, locked and loaded, for whatever it is that the enemy sends our way. It begins by saying this: a campaign of fear like never before is beginning against my body. The author of fear is taking aim with some of the most convincing circumstances yet. Many aren't prepared for what is about to be unleashed. I'm doing everything I can to alert those who will listen and pray to what is about to take place. I'm not doing this to strike fear in anyone. No, I'm doing this to make my body aware of the sudden jolt they may experience as they continue destroying the enemy's kingdom. It's my desire that every one of my children walk through this coming attack unscathed. Some will, others will not. Now here's the part that you need to listen to. What will make the difference? The difference will be those who are controlled by outside circumstances versus those who are rooted and grounded in my word. The circumstances will look ugly. There's absolutely no denying that. But I never said that you should be governed by outside circumstances. And I'm going to stop there. Turn over to the 23rd Psalm. I remember growing up, my grandmother, a very godly woman, she had the plaques in her house with the scriptures on it. I grew up looking at the 23rd Psalm all the time. It was right there in front of you. Every time you went to grandma's house, there it was. And now you just look at it hanging on the wall. It's got to be more than a plaque, though, for us. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And this is the verse that I want you to really hold on to. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me half the days of my life, all the days of my life. And I will dwell in your house, Lord, forever. Does he want us to be afraid? Absolutely not. Do you think in the body of Christ right now that fear is rampant? It is. You've got to treat fear like a rattlesnake. If it tries to come into your presence, you cannot ignore it. It's not going to just go away. You have to deal with it. If it means taking the word of God and confessing for whatever it is he's trying to make you afraid of, then do that. Because if he is allowed to stay there in your presence, if he's allowed to build his home there, to reside there, and you let fear develop on the inside of you, it's going to paralyze you. And I remember as a kid, you know, and I'm sure many of you young men can relate to this. You're working with your dad. You're doing something. I know Pastor Dave talks about this with his grandfather. You're working with your dad, and he tells you, you know, he's in the middle of something. Go grab me a, you know, socket wrench. Go grab me a channel lock pliers. What the heck's a channel lock plier? I don't know. I'm 5 years old. I'm 6 years old. I don't know what that stuff is. So off you go running. You know he's in a hurry. You're looking for this part. You're looking for this tool. You pull open the tool chest. You start looking through it. You couldn't, I mean, it could be right there in front of you, a snake ready to bite you, and you could not find it. It's, all of a sudden, it's almost like you're paralyzed. You can't see it. It could be right there in front of you. That's what fear will do to you. It will utterly paralyze you. And that is the, according to what the Lord's saying here, maybe you've already been in fear up to this point. There's circumstances in the world that aren't very good right now. That's true. I mean, that's what people are dealing with. And maybe already you're dealing with fear. Isn't it just like the enemy to double down and try to pour on more fear? When people are already on the edge, do you know if you're going to have a job next week? Some people don't. Do you know if you're going to have your bills paid? Some people don't. And what does he do when you're on the ropes like that? He comes in and he tries to give you the knockout blow with more fear. But we just read in the 23rd Psalm that God wants you to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, not to stop there, not to camp out with him, to walk through the valley of the shadow of death and to fear no evil. Now, those are easy words to say. It's easy to say that. But the reality of living it, it can be very hard. But we've experienced it. I know some of you've experienced it. My wife and I have experienced it. We know what it feels like to have that fear try to grip you around the throat and choke you, to make you look and see, and you don't see anything on the inside but death and impossibility. And you've got to get that image changed if you're going to have victory. You cannot live there. You cannot allow that image of death and destruction to stay on the inside of you. If lack is trying to beat your door down, and that's the only picture you have inside of you is lack, your days are numbered. You've got to get the image inside of you changed. And you're in the perfect place to know how to do all of that. Because that's what's taught here, message after message after message. I thank God that we don't go to a church that just wants to teach you things to make you feel good and send you out the door, because there's no substance there. And eventually that'll catch up to people, unfortunately. I wish it didn't, but it will. Eventually, if that's the only thing that you're eating spiritually, and it's just an hors d'oeuvre every once in a while, when the pressure really comes and you don't have anything to anchor yourself on, you're just going to get blown away. But God doesn't want you to be that way. Let me read on here a little bit. Some of you listening right now are saying to yourself, I'm not ready for this. Others are saying, I'm already afraid with what I'm facing today. What am I to do? What I have revealed to you in message after message is the process that is essential for realizing your own personal victory. It's yours. It's yours to have. It's not something that someone else is going to pray for and give to you. It's something that you're going to attain to, because you're going to change and develop to the place that you can receive the thing that you're in need of. That's the thing that I think for a long time, theoretically, I had that in my mind, in theory. I understood the message. I understood what was taught here. I understood, in theory, how this worked. But the practical use of it, I didn't get. I wasn't getting the practicality of it. And all it takes is finding yourself in an impossible situation. And get your back against the wall. And then you're going to find out what you really believe. What's theory? And what's really heartfelt belief? And if I'm hearing what the Lord is saying, those days are right ahead of us. And you're going to get an opportunity to find out what you really do believe. If this is theory to you, or if this is a heartfelt belief that you know that God is your source. Do you really know it? Do you know it when there is no food? Honestly. I mean, we can play patty cake, and I can tell you something that'll make you feel good. But what if there's no food? Okay? He's the one that makes the food when there is no food. Do you believe that? Or do you think you believe it? There's a difference. He's the one that walks on the water when there's no boats around. He's the one that opens the blind eyes. He's the one that does the impossible. And he said, here's my spirit. You're born of my spirit. Conform to my image. And be like me. And do what I do. That's it. Conform to my image. Edify yourself. Mortify the things that came over from your old dead man. Mortify that stuff. Edify yourself in the part of you that's of me. And rise to that place where you can walk the way I walk. Because as Gary says, we're not of the species of this world anymore. We're a new species. We need to shut all the doors, lock the doors, because we are aliens from another world. And we are here to do his business on his behalf. And that's what we need to be doing. I'm going to go on here and read a little more of this. I'm forewarning you, take advantage and do what I have taught you to do. You still have time, but don't procrastinate. Do what I have taught you to edify your new man and put to death what remains of your old man. Don't leave behind anything that the enemy can use against you. The good news for you is this. You know what to do. Unlike so many who refuse to listen, you listen. Many who care so much about this life have almost forgotten that this is only the beginning. They care so much about this life. And they forget, this is just the beginning. This isn't everything. This is just the start. Do you think about that? Do you meditate on the fact that this is just the beginning of everything? I mean, we have eternity with him. Eternity with him. And this is just the first step in it. And all the rest of the world, what are they concerned about? They're concerned about the things on this earth. That is what monopolizes all of their thinking time, all of their life, all of their thoughts. It's what's happening here. And yes, we live in this world. I understand that. We have bills to pay. We have, you know, kids to grow up. But somehow, in all of the things that we have to do on a daily basis, if we allow our thoughts to be so monopolized by what's going on in this world around us, that we don't consider that this is just the beginning, that we have an eternity with him, and what are we doing right now that is affecting that eternity? What are we doing? What's our life about? Is our life about just paying bills? Is our life about just planning for retirement? What is our life about while we're here? You know, are we worried about the things that the rest of the world, what they're worried about? Because we are supposed to be different. You know, we're not like them. So Mark, I want to be edified, I want to be comforted, I want to be exhorted, and I'm not hearing it right now. Well, here it is. You know the truth, and you know what to do. So many of the church population, they don't know. They think they do. And how sad is that? Can you imagine the surprise when they realize that what they have thought their church was right, what they thought was right, they realized that it was just superficial, that it wasn't really all that it was supposed to be. And that's what a lot of churches are right now. Fortunately, I'm going to go ahead and read some more of this. Fortunately, your hunger has served you well. Your hunger would not allow you to spin your wheels with religious games. Your hunger has led you to a fountainhead of revelation where your spirit could soar. continue to cultivate your hunger and never become satisfied. I will utilize everything you give me to keep you on this path of transformation, because it is in fact the very thing that will sustain you through everything the enemy will send your way. Don't fear. There's the edification, the comfort. If you'll do these things, this is what will sustain you. Whenever everyone else, when their ship is sinking, this is what is going to keep you afloat. Doing the things that are taught here, edifying yourself, as mundane and boring as that can be at times. For those of you that have been doing this longer than 10 or 15 years, you know there's times that it just gets difficult to continue doing it. There's no denying that. But with what he's saying here, with what we're facing in the future, it sounds like to me that it's going to be extremely difficult. And if you've got strongholds still inside of you that the enemy can monopolize and twist and turn you and get you into fear, he's going to hurt you. And your father doesn't want you to be that way. Your father does not want you to be someone that the enemy can destroy. This is just a real shouting message, isn't it? Turn over to Ephesians chapter 2. As I was saying earlier, Debbie and I, as I've told so many times, when she first was diagnosed with the tumor, and they found out it was inoperable. I can still remember how fear tried to grip me so strong. I still remember that, how it tried to create the image inside of me where it was, she was going to die, and you had to work not to see that, because that was what he wanted me to see. That was the end result that he was going for, and that's what he wanted me to buy into. And it wasn't like I could come up and have Gary or Dave pray for me and that image change. You see, that's the part that people don't understand. It doesn't change just because someone prays for you. It changes because you change it. Whatever you're in need of right now, and whatever you're praying for, in line with his will for your life, if you don't see yourself with it on the inside, you won't get it. You've got to see yourself with whatever it is you're praying for. You've got to see that I believe that I have received it. I mean, this is the basic Faith 101 message. When you pray, believe that you receive it. See yourself with it on the inside. If you're believing for the new car, if you're believing for a car, see yourself with whatever it is that you've prayed for. If it's gasoline for the car, see yourself with gasoline, whatever it is. If it's food, the image inside of you has to line up with what you're believing. If it doesn't, you don't get it. The thing that I had to learn in the whole process of her healing was that there were times whenever I would be emotionally afraid, emotions, and I still had to confess his word until on the inside of me I believed. No matter what my emotions were telling me, and they were telling me horrible things. They were afraid. They were scared. They were seeing her dead. While I was working, I would sit there and put soda pop on the shelf, and I'd have tears running down my face because my wife, I saw her dead. You don't win when you see your wife dead. You have to change that. And you change it by putting the Word of God in your mouth, praying in tongues, fasting if you can to mortify the things inside of you that shouldn't be there, and do the message. Just do it until you see the results that you want. Now, I kind of stepped out a little bit today when he gave me this. And I asked Debbie, I asked her if she would say a few things. Because, you know, my perspective was different from hers. You know, I was the person that was watching. I wasn't the person experiencing what she experienced. So if you'll come up here, Debbie. What I'd like for her to do is just share however much she wants to, just give you an idea of what she walked through.
Well, I guess he wants me to talk about the fear part, so there was a lot of fear. I did not, however, see myself dead. I refused to let my thoughts go that way because I knew if I lived there in the place of sickness and fear that I would die. So the first, and thinking back about this, because I told him I don't think about that part. You know, I've strived so hard not to think about it that it's hard right now. It's hard to think back about it and remember all that stuff. But when I first got the diagnosis, the first scripture that I started confessing was Romans 15:13, which is, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." So that became my first scripture, and I started listening to Gary's series about the God of hope, and that is what I did constantly, fed myself with the Word, with the Word, with the Word. Every time the doctors would say anything, which of course incites fear, you don't do it at the doctor's office. You can't refute the things they say in front of them because they're not going to believe it anyway. But when you leave the doctor's office, you better get on your faith. You better start having the Word come out your mouth. So that's what I did. I mean, I knew that Jesus healed me, but I had always been very healthy, and so I could, the little colds or whatever. Oh, yeah, Jesus bore my sicknesses, he carried my pains, I'm healed, and, you know, a couple days it was gone. But this was different. You know, this I had to stand for a little bit longer. I didn't get a miracle right in the prayer line. And it was because, really for me, it was hard to receive God's love, to believe that he loved me that much, just as a personal thing. So I knew I needed to get hope, because when you get a diagnosis like that, the hope is, you know, they don't give you much hope. They give you a little bit, but they don't really give you very much. So I just got on the Word, and I knew that confession worked. I knew if I confess God's Word, because God is not a liar, that his Word would do what he said it would do. And so for me, that's how I combated the fear. I combated it with the Word of God. And it wasn't, I used Isaiah 41:10, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed." Dismayed means to destroy courage or resolution by exciting dread or apprehension, to deprive a person of courage or the power to act as a result of fear and anxiety. So I would quote that scripture. "You are my God. You strengthen me. You help me. You uphold me with the right hand of your righteousness." But as far as fear scriptures, really, I first started with hope because I needed to get hope, because without hope, faith has no substance. And then I went to the healing scriptures, and I listened to things about healing, and I spoke things about healing every day, all the time, that my mouth was moving. There was something, the Word of God was coming out. When the thoughts of fear came, I refuted them with the Word. I never spoke the fear. Mark didn't know half the stuff I was going through because I didn't tell him. And so that, for me, that's how I combated it. I combated it primarily by confession of the Word. And looking back, it wasn't just fear scriptures that I used, but the healing. It was the healing scriptures. And as I built that foundation of healing, then you start believing the Word. You believe what God said. And as you so it came to a point where then fear didn't play such a big part anymore. Now, I'm not saying that the devil never tries, because he still tries. He still tries with things, but it's not like that overwhelming sense of doom and destruction. And it was because of the foundation, just really the foundation of healing for me. So whatever the fear that you're facing, just get the Word out, speak the Word, and fear will have to go. Once that foundation of faith is built, you're not going to be subjected to fear anymore. It was in January last year. I had had several things besides the cancer, several issues with the kidneys because of the tumor and the radiation and stuff. And at one point, I guess the ureter had been kinked. And anyway, I confessed over that ureter, and it got straightened out, and the doctor was amazed. And I came up and I was talking to Pastor Dave about it, and he looked at me and he said, "You have no fear." And I said, "Well, I'm working on that." And he said, "No. The fear is not inside of you anymore. Any fear that comes now is from the outside." And so, you know, I thought, no, that's not, because sometimes there's still fear. But the next time that something came, I realized that what he said was true, that the Word was so strong inside of me in this area that the fear was on the outside trying to come in. And so now, I mean, really, when things come, I just pretty much laugh at the devil. I think this past January, just one day I started laughing, just realized, you know, the devil can't kill me, and he can't steal my body parts. And so, anyway, there's no fear.
Isn't that a blessing to hear from someone like that? I mean, I get to live with her too, but I had a firsthand experience watching her go through it. But the experience that she had is unbelievable to me at times, that someone can stand up against the things that she stood up against. But what it proved to me was this: the enemy doesn't have anything. He has smoke and mirrors, and that's it. God's given you the victory already. No matter what it is that you're facing, you already have the victory in Him. He's given you His nature. He's given you everything that you need for the equipment to grow and develop into His image and into His likeness. Do you think that He's afraid? He's not afraid of the devil. Not at all. Do you think He wants you to be afraid of the devil? Not at all. He doesn't expect you to be afraid. He expects you to run the devil's tail out every time, without exceptions, every time. He expects you to be that conqueror that He made you to be, to walk through life victorious. But Mark, you don't know what I'm dealing with. You don't know what my circumstances are like. It really doesn't matter what your circumstances are like. It really does not matter. He's given you the victory already. And it's up to you to conform to His image to where you can believe that. Once you believe it, did you hear what she said? Once you believe it, there's no fear. It's gone. And you begin to realize who the devil really is. and the limitations of his ability. He's really very limited. He has to get you to believe his lie. When you believe his lie, he's got you. He has you. I want to ask, while she was talking, this came to me. I want to ask you right now. In the last 6 months, the last 3 months, how many of you in this room have really been dealing with strong issues of fear? Raise your hand. I kind of felt like there was going to be a number of people dealing with that. I know it's not people in this room. I know people through the internet are going to hear it too. But I know tonight, you gave me this word to share with you, not by accident, that you're here. And I know that there's grace here for you as well to help you in the direction of your freedom. He doesn't want you to leave here and continue to feel defeated. Continue to feel like the enemy has you on the run. That's no way to live. And I don't care if it's financial or whether it's a healing in your body or if you just feel like your life is just a dead end. That is no way to live. He has a plan for you. You can't come here week after week and not realize he has a plan for you. And I know I talked to many of you, and right now, there are so many of you that are, you don't have a job, and you don't, and that fulfillment that comes with having a job, it's not there. It's just not there. And as a result, you feel like you're walking around aimless. And, you know, that's a dangerous place to be. And I would encourage anyone who's unemployed right now, not just to be praying for a job, but to be seeking his face. Seek his face. Find out what it is his plan is for you. Because just getting a job is not the answer. Being where he wants you to be is the answer. Wherever that is and whatever it is that he wants you to be doing. He's your provider, not your job. Somewhere along the way here, we're going to have to get that realization. We're going to have to get our eyes off of whoever our employer is as our source. Many have had to by force because all of a sudden they found themselves unemployed. Do yourself a favor. If you're employed right now, figure out that that company isn't your source. Because they may be here today and gone tomorrow. And begin to confess the scriptures that tell you that your source is Jesus. That he's your provider. No matter whether your bank account is full or empty, he's your provider. And you have to get that settled in your heart. Because what I've read here, this campaign of fear, if you don't do that, and he comes knocking on your door with poverty. You know how hard it is? How hard it was for me whenever we were faced with the diagnosis. And then it's time to try to get that image built inside of you. It's an uphill battle that you don't want to face. And he doesn't want you to. He's saying, get ready now. Get your house built now. Because the storms are coming. And the flood's coming, and if you haven't got your house built on the rock now, when that flood rises up, it's going to take you, and there's no need for that. There's just no need for that. There was another part of this word that I want to share with you. This came a little bit later in the afternoon. The message of this place is my message. He's talking about the message that is taught here. It's not unique to this body. I have found others who too have hungered after truth as you have. And I have led them To the few fountainheads I have where revelation flows freely, unhindered, and without price. Appreciate what I have created here, because man did not do this. I did this. I did this through the hunger of those who have gone before you. Don't despise what I have done here. God did this. And this isn't the only one. There are others where there is really truth that flows. That fountainhead of truth and revelation. There's other places where people have hungered and they've cried out to God for truth, and he showed them as he's shown us. And I believe as time progresses, he's going to link together the people that are walking in truth more and more across this world. We're not alone. We haven't cornered the market on anything. But what we have is what he's created here. And he's shown us the power that's in our spoken word, the power that's in edification, mortification, transformation. Don't despise it. How can I despise it? By simply not doing it. When you're looking at the truth and it's smacking you in the face and you don't do it, you're despising it. Don't do that. Just continue to know every hour that you spend in that prayer closet praying in other tongues, you're changing into his image. You're becoming more like him. You're becoming more like him. That part of you that was born inside of you from him, filled with life, is developing and it's growing. The more you pray, the more it grows. The more you meditate on his word, the more you grow up into his image, to where you look like him and you act like him and you speak to the mountains, and the mountains move because you said so. This is a message of hope. This is a message that will take you through whatever it is the enemy tries to throw at us in the future. We just have to continue to do it. It's as simple as that. Turn over to Colossians chapter 1. I read this prayer. This is there's the two prayers in Ephesians and this one in Colossians chapter 1. I read this daily, and there's just so much truth in it. It is so encouraging to read it. But I want to focus on, let's start in just verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet or able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness. You are delivered already. It's not something that's going to happen in the future. You are delivered right now. Now, you know, something that Debbie said, there are some of you that you really can't relate. And it's a good thing, I guess. You really can't relate to real hardship. You know, you've got a good job, family's together, you don't have sickness. Chronic sickness, something really that's attacked you. You really don't have that, so you're really having a hard time relating with those that do. You know, that's a good thing, and there's something that you need to be aware of. You know, the enemy can turn things around, and your world can be turned upside down. And if you're just expecting that things are going to continue just copacetic and there's not going to be anything that ruffles your feathers and everything's going to be smooth, I don't think that's the case. And if your world is, right now, if your world is really smooth, just thank God for it. But don't just relax and think that it's always going to stay that way. Get prepared now, you know, for a rough road ahead. Just get ready now. Start spending your time. You know, you may have a great job. You may have a bank account full. I don't know. But confess Him as your source. You may not have ever had a sickness. I saw someone yesterday in the hospital for the first time, and they were in their 70s. That's not, you know, that's wonderful that they're that old and have never been in a hospital. But, you know, things can change, and the next thing you know, you're dealing with something you've never dealt with before. Just think about that. All of a sudden, you're faced with something you've never been faced with before. All it takes is one doctor looking you in the eye and saying, yeah, this is cancer, and you've got 6 months. And then it's time to what? Start building your house? It's really hard then. So hear this word and be prepared for whatever is ahead of you, whatever it is. Whatever it is. If it's smooth sailing from here until you see Jesus, just thank God for it. And that would be wonderful. But don't be the kind of person that sticks their head in the sand and says, I just expect everything's going to be just fine from here on out. Because you might wake up and find out that it's not that way. The one scripture that I always hold on to is 2 Timothy 1:7. God's not given me the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. See, that spirit that we're talking about is the new nature. Your new nature doesn't get into fear. The part of you that gets into fear is the part that didn't get born again. Turn back over to Ephesians chapter 2. And start in verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature, that's the old nature, the children of wrath. These are people, they're following after their flesh. They're following after that old nature. Whatever feels right, they're doing it. And that's the way we all used to be before we were born again. You know, if everything's going good in the world, they're going good. If everything's going bad, they're going bad. But that's not the way we're supposed to be. We're going to go good whether things in the world go good or whether they go bad. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. I noticed something when I was reading this today. In verse 5 it says, even when we were dead in sins, he quickened us. When we were dead in sins, he quickened us. We were dead and he made us alive. Go over again to Colossians in verse chapter 3. We were dead and he quickened us. and he made us, he gave us a new nature filled with his life. In chapter 3 it says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead. I'm dead? It said I was dead before, then I was made alive. Now this says I'm dead. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Positionally, you're dead. Positionally, you have been declared dead. Set your affections not on things on this earth. Don't get all wrapped up in bigger houses, bigger cars, all that kind of stuff. It's fine to have things. It can't be what your life is made up of. It has to be more than that. Set your affections on things that are above, not on things that are here. These are temporal. They're temporary. They're going to change. They're going to burn up and be gone, and that's it. And if that's what your life is wrapped up in, you're going to stand in front of him. You're going to stand accountable for how you spent your time here. And that fire is going to come down. It's going to consume whatever's there. And if it's golden, it's going to stay. But if it's hay, wood, and stubble, it's going to be burned. And that's what you're going to have to show for your life. Once that fire's gone, I intend for there to be something sitting there. Something there that I can say, yes, this is what I lived my life for. This is what I was spending my time on earth doing. I wasn't all wrapped up in things like the earthly people were. Because I recognized that I wasn't of the earth. I was born from above. I was a different species. I realized that my life was spent for something more than temporal things. It was spent on things that were eternal, on lives that would be changed for the kingdom of God. That I didn't get wrapped up worrying about the things that were going to pass away, whether or not I had something or didn't have something. But what was important to me was that I stand here face to face with you, Jesus. And I have something left to show once the fire's gone for how I spent my days here. That's what's important. Because that's how much you love him is what's left there. Amen. So I do want to give an opportunity tonight to minister to those of you that might be dealing with issues of fear. Because there's no reason walking out of this place bound up with fear, giving place to the enemy and him tormenting you. There's just no use doing that. It's like getting a kickstart. You can get a kickstart tonight on this. You're going to have to do something once you leave here. But we can get you going in the right direction. Because I believe His grace is here to minister to you, to help you. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Just bow your head. Jesus, we thank you. We worship you. We glorify you. I just feel like I'm supposed to pray for anybody that's listening right now through the internet, because I know there's so many people I know there's so many people that listen. I know the anointing is right here for me to pray for you if you're listening right now on the internet. Father, for each person, no matter where they are in the world, who are listening and dealing with fear, whether it's economic conditions, whether it's health issues, whether it's marital strife, whatever it is, I come against the powers of darkness, trying to strangle this person with fear. I bind you, devil. I command you to turn loose of this person right now in Jesus' name. They walk in liberty and freedom from this bondage and this oppression. Dealing with mental issues. Speak healing to your mind. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.